Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. This morning, we welcome from Climate Smart Glacier Country, the Vice Chairman, Matt Faltz.
Hello. Hey, John. How's it going?
Good. And the Citizens for Better Flatheads Coordinator of Sustainability Programs. And I'm going to get to say it before I finish up here this morning, Allison Batch.
Good morning.
Good to have you guys with us today. I want to just kind of give everybody kind of an overview of what you guys do. So, Matt, let's talk about what you guys do at Glaciers.
So Climate Smart Glacier Country, our focus is really on mitigation, adaptation, and education as far as resources in the valley relating to kind of our changing climate and how we as individuals can impact that in a positive way.
Okay. And Allison, talk about Citizens for a Better Flathead.
Sure. We focus on long-term sustainability as our county continues to grow in population. So we know we're facing a lot of growth here in the valley, and we want to do it in the right way.
Okay. So that's kind of an idea of what you guys do, all right? And you're in charge of that, and you're in charge of this.
Wish us luck.
Yeah, for sure. What do you see as the big issues? Let's start with Matt. The big issue facing us here in terms of just keeping our valley our valley.
Well, sure. Once again, as Allison was talking about, valley is very popular. People are coming in and moving in. And as you see that growth, just making sure that we do it in a smart way. You know, looking at the traffic in the park, looking at congestion in the community, and trying to make positive changes and positive impact and smart growth is really kind of the focus, is that making sure that as we grow and create a community that we all want to live in, and that we also are mindful of that tourism industry that is very positive economically to this valley.
Okay. Yeah. One of your titles is Director of Risk and Sustainability at Glacier National Park Lodges. So what about that? You know, I mean, we've had this increased traffic, and do you focus on the ability to enjoy the parks, or what is the overview?
Well, sure. I guess the idea is that you want people to enjoy the park, but every year we have record visitation, right?
And then right.
Even with the fires last year, people were still coming. And so the idea is, how do you make an environment that's enjoyable for the tourist and the local community, and looking at different ways to do that, whether it's parking or using the shuttle systems, and just trying to find a way that we can kind of spread that population out so that not everyone's just on the Going to the Sun Road. There's tons of beautiful places to go visit in the park. You know, you've got Two Medicine, you've got kind of off the beaten path places, Pobridge Mercantile, you know, just kind of spreading the word about what the other places in the park have to offer.
So how do you do that? Guided tours, or it's almost like if somebody's coming in from outside of the park, they probably don't know. They just get a map and wander around.
Sure. And that's kind of why you want to get them where they're coming. So the idea is at the airport, try and put out like kiosks or kind of those information things where these are things to do, like go on a glacier raft guide and that sort of thing. So, or fly fishing. I think the idea is to look at the train stations and the airport as places that we can, directly communicate with those.
Now, does this relate to Eagle Transit? I know they're running the shuttle service, but when you talk about the park, you're not talking just about West Glacier and going up that side.
Sure. That's what's nice is that with Eagle Transit, you have both sides. You have the snow bus, and then you have Eagle Transit that's helping out during the summer season. The problem is just like there's only so much parking and so much capacity that even if you use the shuttle system, well, where do those cars park that get on the shuttle? And so it's one of those where, you don't want those cars just sitting downtown of our different communities, because then what about your transient traffic?
Sure.
So I guess the idea is to figure out, when we talk about smart growth, we also talk about how that transportation component of it.
Well, one of the things, I think some of this is happening naturally anyway. One of my favorite places in the park, always been one of my favorites, is Bowman Lake and Kentler Lake. And I've always enjoyed those lakes all by myself, maybe one or two other people. Last couple of seasons, the campground's been full.
Well, to your point, I mean, even Two Medicine, it was the best kept secret. And then, 4 years ago, you could go there and just kind of sit on the, by the beach and enjoy it. And now there's, volunteers directing traffic kind of one in, one out. it's one of those where if you're not there at sunrise, you're not parking. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the thing, is it's making sure that we don't love it to death, but also giving, there's tons of beautiful places in this valley around the park, and we want to try and promote that as well.
And Allison, you're part of all of this now. You're not as much involved in the park as you are the rest of the valley, right?
Right, yeah. So we run a couple of different programs. We do waste reduction education. So I go into schools and talk about recycling and composting and different ways that people can reduce waste every day. And then we also do a buy local magazine. So we really, you know, encourage people to shop local, support our local businesses, and keep the money here in our valley. So those are a couple of the different programs that we run to support that goal.
One of the big disappointments we all had here a few weeks ago is that some of our recyclables are no longer going to be recycled. Is there anything we can do about that?
Yeah, you know, right now we're telling people to just reduce and reuse since we lost that recycling for our plastics. So if you can avoid buying them at the store, that's really the best thing. Or bring your own reusable bags so you're not taking home those plastic bags. Or, you know, reuse them. Use them for Tupperware, different things like that. But yeah, unfortunately, it's really a global problem that we're looking at. And we hope the market comes back soon.
You know, when I first moved here back in 2008, I came from Portland, and Fred Meyer, which is Kroger, Smith's
right
here, they had machines that, you know, you paid a deposit on the cans and bottles when you bought them. You brought them back. You just ran them down a chute. You got a coupon and you got money back inside the store. But I guess the issue is, where do they take that stuff after it's been recycled? Huh?
And that's the issue because, yeah, I spent some time in Oregon, and the bottle bill states are great for that, for where there, you pay the deposits and you take it back. There's an incentive and there's an economic value to it. But the problem is that with the China market kind of rejecting that recycling stream, there's just a volume that, you know, someone else can't fill that.
They don't like labels and stuff on.
Well, I think on some level we just have to do a better job of, you know, non-contamination. It's just like for our glass recycling that we have in Columbia Falls, we ask you to rinse the containers out, because when you have that material and, you know,
and it's got orange juice in it.
Yeah, it's not ideal from a recycling stream. And I think that on some level that's the problem, is that if your recycling is contaminated, then it's not recycling anymore. It just goes to the landfill.
Well, you know, if we don't have the plastic bottles recycled, how are we going to make more Gore-Tex?
Sure.
Think about that. That is the one of the key elements in Gore-Tex. Mm-hmm. And Gore-Tex has been one of those fabulous fabrics that has saved lives out in the backcountry, and it's made from recyclable plastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing. Like, we're in the park trying to focus on moving away from the plastic bottles from our camp stores. And it's funny to say that we're moving away from plastic and moving towards glass. But, you know, glass we can still recycle in the valley.
Yeah.
And so it's a challenge, but we're hoping that it's a short-term one.
Yeah. Well, Earth Day, Earth Week is coming up, and we'll dive into that right after this. Our guests, Climate Smart Glacier Country's Vice Chair Matt Faltz and Citizens for a Better Flatheads Coordinator of Sustainability Programs, Allison Batch. All right, Earth Week is coming up. We've been doing this for a few years now.
Yeah, hopefully we're getting pretty good at it, we hope.
It gets a little easier every year.
Yeah. So talk with us a little about what our plans are this year.
Well, it's kind of what's exciting this year is that we've made it almost like a week-long program. And the big thing this year is in Whitefish, the Center for Sustainability and Entrepreneurship is opening up, which has been a multi-year process in the making. But it's kind of exciting that it's unveiling this year. And As a lead into that, this Saturday, we're actually working with Martel Construction to build some raised beds that hopefully will be a component of the working farm there. That's open to the public and volunteers, and so that, you know, the public can kind of put their fingerprint on this this building.
Raised beds.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in raised beds for a lot of reasons. First of all, that you don't have to bend over so far to tend them, but more than that, it gets heat. From natural heat from the sunlight on it, and the weeds don't grow quite as bad, and the plants grow quicker.
Right, if you do it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and that's into like.
And it's easier for the deer. You know, they don't have to bend over as far.
Yeah, that's true.
But I guess that's the idea, is to try to really make it a working farm that they can use the fruits and vegetables that they grow in the in their kitchen and in their kind of student dining room.
Mm-hmm. Can you grow fruits and vegetables here?
You can try.
Well, they have a nice vegetables, greenhouse, yeah. As well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's greenhouse.
The greenhouse,
okay.
Helps, yeah.
Yeah, well, it helps a lot, yeah. Yeah. But what fruits can we actually do here, even in greenhouses?
I know apples. Apples, yeah, are big.
I've got a couple apple, yeah, trees produced, yeah, in my yard. And then once in the plums are, you know.
Cherries.
Yeah.
Yeah, cherries.
Yeah. Okay, they're fruits. I'd forgotten about that.
And tomatoes.
I keep thinking of bananas and oranges and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, probably not those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have transportation in and out for that. And, of course, that creates issues, too, for the environment.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're focusing on with the event is, you know, encouraging biking and walking or carpooling. So we will have a bike rodeo there for kids to bring their bike through, and they learn safe biking skills and different ways to interact with traffic and things that will keep them safe on the road. And then we'll also have a bike maintenance station for all ages. So anyone can bring their bike and get it tuned up for the spring, get your tires filled. So yeah, we think alternative transportation, biking and walking, is a great thing for the community.
You know, they've got these new semis that are going to be hitting the road here in the next year or so that are run completely on electricity.
Really?
That'd be very cool. Yeah.
Once again, it's in production, right? That's always the hope, is what the turnaround time on those are. And what's kind of exciting, too, is that the red buses in the park are, we're kind of doing a feasibility study because they're due for renovation. And mm-hmm. So we're looking at just the different kind of hybrid or other alternatives to fuel for those buses.
Well, now the red buses are natural gas, right?
So they're dual fuel. So they're propane, okay, and gasoline, but those systems are, you know, almost a decade old. So they're ready to be kind of, you know, refurbished. And that's the mm-hmm. other trick, too, is that, you know, finding propane dispensers is always a challenge, you know, to make sure that we can keep them running on the propane.
I thought they were natural gas. That's a whole, well, that's got its problems too. You don't have it piped up there yet, do you?
We call them subtle charms, you know.
Earth Day. Robin's going to ask you more about what we're going to be doing with Earth Week right after this.
Well, our guest this morning, Matt Foles, the Glacier Country Vice Chairman, Climate Smart Country. Climate Smart Glacier Country. Oh, man. Okay, and also we have Allison Batch with us. She's the head of Citizens for Better Flatheads Sustainability Programs. Or, you know, maybe there needs to be an acronym.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very good, though, right? We've got to work on that. But
first nip.
Yeah.
But anyway, the whole point is that it is Earth Week coming up, and I guess it's not kicked off on Friday the 13th, but a day later, huh?
Yeah, just to make sure that you know, we don't jinx anybody, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So
what can, what can we expect on Saturday, the 14th?
So Saturday we're going to be meeting out at the Center for Sustainability, which is over by the Whitefish High School, 8:30 to 11:30. And if you're not a morning person, then we've got a 12:30 to 3:30 option. But the idea is to work with Martel Construction, put some raised beds in that will hopefully lead to some food production in the fall.
Okay, and these raised beds are at the school or at the sustainability center?
Right, so the center is actually just north of the high school. And so basically it's kind of on the same campus. So they'll be meeting at the site. Once again, it's still a construction zone. So you'll see the fence, and I think right now at least the snow's melting, but it's kind of a muddy mess.
So you put in these raised beds. Is this for a community garden, or how does that work anyway?
Right. So the idea would be that we have the center is manned by a gardener who will be producing stuff. And the idea is that the students can actively take part in the creation and the production of this food.
Okay. Now, the actual Earth Day thing, though, it's a week later, correct?
It is, yep. It's the next Saturday, the 21st, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., also at Whitefish High School.
Okay. Now, what is that going to be like? Or is the on Earth Day itself a dog and pony show with all kinds of people attending?
It is. It's going to be a big festival. This is the fourth year that we're doing this festival. So it's been in different locations every year all around Whitefish. But this year we moved it to the high school to really celebrate the unveiling of the new Center for Sustainability and Entrepreneurship.
Oh, it's a grand opening.
It is a grand opening. Right. They're doing a ribbon cutting
green
and
ribbon
everything.
Cutting, yes.
Yep.
Okay, so the time is 11 to 3. What will people see, or what can they be involved in?
Yeah, so we'll have over 40 booths that are all hosted by different local nonprofits, conservation groups, green businesses, and each booth will have a hands-on activity or craft or demonstration that families can participate in, and they're all kind of focused around our four Earth Day themes, which we call Grow It, Fix It, Save It, and Live It.
Okay.
A lot of its.
That's interesting.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Cousin it.
Right.
So, but when you say information booths, obviously you can spend time and talk to an expert or get one-on-one information from each, yeah?
Yeah, so you can learn all about the different groups that are there. But then, you know, with the hands-on activity, you really get to interact with the booth. So you can plant your own seeds.
Get your hands dirty.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Now, are there some things to distract the kids or to entertain them also?
Sure. Yeah, all of the hands-on activities will be very kid-friendly. So all of the booths, you know, the whole event is really geared towards families, but adults obviously can have a great time too.
But a climbing wall.
Yeah, there'll be the climbing wall there for free, and one of the jumpers, the little bungee jumpers, if you've seen those, will be there too. So anyone can use those during the day. What else?
There's food vendors, local food vendors, and I think the idea is, yeah, it's a family fun event, and the bouncer just kind of helps get that energy out from that long winter we've had.
And live music too.
Yes, live music all day. We'll have a wild bird show at 11:30 in the morning, so the kids can see live raptors, like owls, falcons, hawks, up close and personal. So that's going to be with Wild Wings Recovery Center.
Now, the falcons, they're not going to be flying around.
No, they have them tethered,
All right.
Mean, if we get lucky, maybe.
Gosh, what a great conversation. And Earth Week starts to actually kick it off on Saturday through next week, and it culminates with the big grand opening of the Sustainability Center.
Yes.
Allison and Matt, thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Yeah.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby. Keeping you connected to your friends and your community is an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank. Member FDIC and an equal housing lender. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for Glacier Bank's Community Conversations.